Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy y'all decided to join us. Today, we have a special treat for everyone. We're welcoming back our special guest, Heather Plune, a certified Akashic Records Intuitive and Reiki Master Teacher. Heather may look familiar to everyone as she was a guest on episode 40 of the Drop the Needle podcast, but today, Heather is going to do an Akashic Record reading live. On air. Well, almost live. We're actually recording this, but you get what I mean. So, hi, Heather. Welcome back.
Jim, I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me. And this is a great opportunity to do a reading for you on air so everyone can see what it's like.
I'm excited about this. And boy, it seems like it's been a while since we've seen each other. You've had some exciting things going on. You just got back from a wonderful trip.
Yeah, we just got back from London. We spent time in the city and went to a little village named Rye and on the English Channel. And it was amazing. And there's just something, the people of London are so lovely and nice. The food's amazing. So I highly recommend it.
Excellent. Any jet lag or anything like that coming back?
I'm still recovering a little bit. Last night, I haven't slept too well since we've been home, but I feel like tonight's my night. We've only been home for 2 days.
All right. So we're going to get into this because I'm sure this is what everyone's really interested in hearing and seeing. And what we'll do, Heather's going to bring us through what would be in her normal reading or session that you'd have with her going through the Akashic Records. So I'm going to let Heather start everything off. And just so everyone knows, she does start the session off with a sacred prayer. I'm not going to air that, but Heather's going to go ahead and go through that. And we'll be right back when she's ready to go.
Okay, so I am going to open up your records, Jim. I'm going to use your name, Jim Allstott. And then I'm also, at the same time, going to open up the records of your book. Will that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful, because I only open up records with permission from people, and we will close everything out again before you leave. And do you want, like, my spiel, like, what the information we have access to? Or I kind of gave it last time.
Yes, please. Yes. Okay. That sounds great. I think everyone will want to see this and hear this. So we'll probably keep everything in as is right now. And then when we get to the prayer.
Zip. Okay. Perfect. So when we open up your records today, we have access to your soul. I'm basically just channeling your soul from me to you. And we have access to the information that your soul holds from the time that it first became a ball of energy, and then any lifetimes that it dropped down into, and the information that your soul used to plan your life this time, and information that your soul might have if you are wanting to make any decisions, if you're making some changes, choices, things your soul would like for you to consider. So this also includes for this lifetime, your purpose, the gifts that you came in with, information about the souls that you travel with in past lives and in this lifetime, if there are any lessons that you need to learn, things that you're working on. We also have access to soul healing in the records if that is something that arises. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And we have information that comes through about present situations, past situations, anything that you're carrying with you from lifetimes. We can also open up records for situations. I know you're writing a book, and we are also able to open up records of your book. I have helped people with businesses and opening up records of businesses. So it is, everything has its own energetic soul, if you will. So mm-hmm. We can open up both of those for you today.
Perfect.
Wonderful. All right. Do I have your permission to open up your Akashic records and the Akashic records of your book?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to be silent for a few moments, and I'm going to say my prayer, and I'll let you know when our records are open. The Akashic records of Jim Allstadt's book are now open. When I opened up the records of your book, I was seeing, I don't know if you have your cover art chosen yet. Do you have any cover art ideas that you have been working with?
No, not yet.
Okay. So they were showing me the cover page that is, it's almost like, a picture of someone's like desk, but like a desk with books stacked on it, and a few, like it's like a photograph. So it's books and like it's a few personal things related to you. So I'm seeing a baseball, and there are a few other, it's almost like you need to take a picture of some of the space that you worked in, because you need to put like your imprint on the front of this book, because that's also going to help people make a connection. It's like, it's almost as if people could see where you're working from. And if they sat down next to you, this is what they'd see. And it does look, you know, artfully arranged. It looks lovely, but it's a photograph of things that are very, you know, special to you that are also, it gives the reader something else to connect with.
Tangible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which I thought was really interesting. Because it's really important with this book that you are shining through this book. It is, and the person that you are is very significant to creating it. And again, as you've mentioned several times, you know, the community that we are working in often doesn't have a great male presence. And so it is really important that shines from this book. And so it's very important that it just, when you look at that front cover, it screams you, and it screams the space that you're in. And it has, you know, some of this very masculine curiosity about it. So just something to keep in mind. And I feel also that like your author pictures that will be in the back, it's not just a headshot. It's kind of like you in action. So I don't know if that's you coaching. I don't know if that is you, you know, it's like a whole body picture. And it's also just because people need to be able to make that connection, and those visuals can be really helpful. So that was what popped up first of all. Yes. So do you want to throw out any questions about your book?
Yes, I've got a few different questions as it relates to the book. I'm curious to know how it will be received by the public, I guess, first and foremost. I'd also like to know the timing. I have a timing as it relates to the release in mind. I just wanted to know if it's kind of in alignment with what I'm feeling.
Okay. So I am getting that your book is something that's going to have multiple printings. So it's something that is, it's going to be well received, but it's a book that's going to be like revived, kind of as society changes and people are more into working on their spiritual sides, that it's something that you're going to have multiple printings of. And I just got that somewhere along the line, Joe Dispenza will be involved with this. I'm not sure if he will end up writing, writing a blurb for you, if he will be involved with marketing at some point, like he'll be talking to you about it. But that it will be, this book is just something that you're going to put it out there and it's going to be, it's going to be well received, but then it's going to have a life of its own. And, is going to lead to other things and will lead to interviews, will lead to presentations at workshops and things like that. So, and there, I'm also getting that there's going to be an opportunity to build some community with this. So it will be like you need a QR code in the back and for people to email in, maybe it's some sort of online group that people can join, ask questions, reflect, will maybe write a blog for this. Like, I feel like this book is going to, maybe it needs its own website and that it's going to be kind of a space that can be welcoming for building community. And you'll also be able to connect people. This is important, be able to connect people with other male figures out there who are doing this kind of work, and that it is not to be exclusive in any way, but to be inclusive and to be a place where people can, can be vulnerable. People can share things. People can, and just kind of to be a resource. And then, so there is a sense that it would be really lovely to build some community with this and find a space and it's online where you can do this. And you may even find that at one point you're doing like online book discussions. I feel like you also, to book clubs out there, you'd be willing to talk about your book and do a presentation and answer questions and, have it. It's going to be kind of an interactive experience because you're writing a book to explain things, but you're also writing a book to open up. And you're writing a book to be able for people to start dialogue and to start thinking and to jumping into spiritual learning and seeing, gosh, like you don't even know what you don't know. So like for some people, this is going to be a place to start. And then also they're saying that it would be really appropriate for you to reach out to therapists, for you to reach out to people in the counseling world and be like, hey, I just, here's a copy. I just want to share this with you. If you think any of your clients benefit, blah, blah, blah. Because as more people are trying to do their work and figure things out, that it's important for you to disseminate this information and just to do as much to provide opportunity for people to connect with this as much as you can. Because there's a community building portion of it that is really getting lit up for me right now.
What's, and I'm sorry to interrupt. What's interesting is you truly have no idea what I've written. Mm-mm. I
don't even know your title. All.
Right. Right. So what you're saying is so accurate and in line with what my intention is from this book. And I won't add anything to it, but I'm telling you right now, it is spot on with the intent of the book. So that's awesome. Very cool.
Well, it's your soul's plan for this book. So your soul and its energy is, creating the energy of this book. So it makes sense. That's wonderful. But yeah, I think just with the book, you just also really need to be prepared to have this website, to have QR codes to it. And this is my link and this is my information. And I feel like you will also, some of these other people that you're trying to make you're trying to connect your group to, other male authors, other, you know, absolutely any other authors that you're feeling would be really helpful. You'll have guest bloggers. You will have, you know, maybe your podcast, like,
right,
once a month, you would have a, this is my book, la la la. This is, you know, this is, we're doing book group or whatever this is. So I think that it really, like I said, it's bigger than the book. It's a book and a community and, you know, and some follow-up things. So yeah. So get ready. That's awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah. That is very cool because, ideally, well, I can say this, and the only reason I'm apprehensive to say it, 'cause I don't want to feed, you know, any lines to you or change your thought, which I don't think it would, but I'm, as I always say, you know, I try to have that healthy dose of skepticism in this. So I'm trying not to add to it, but the whole idea behind opening it up and making it so people understand that there is a safe landing spot out there, and you're not crazy, you're not this, you're not that, you're not a label of anything. You are, I guess, welcome to be in this and share, and nobody's going to think ill of you from doing this. And I think it is an important thing for people to realize, which is part of the reason I'm doing the podcast that I'm doing, is for inclusivity. So people know that, hey, check it out, be a part of it, interact with me, you know, join in, you know, interact with the guests, things of that nature. So yeah, that's really neat. And thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's, again, it's spot on with what my intentions are. So
awesome. Yeah. And they're saying, as even as you're talking about that, like, it's not a coincidence that you're really a communicator. Like, before you were a writer, you're a communicator. So it really for you is about starting that conversation and, you know, getting the idea rolling. And I do find a lot of the people that I'm doing readings for now, and the people that I am talking to, we are getting called from all walks of life. Like, there was a construction company manager, and there is, you know, teachers, and there are nurses, and there are CEOs, and there are people who are getting called to help people open up to the world of spirituality. And we got to be sprinkled everywhere. So people have access in a lot of different places.
Love
so
that.
This is great. And I'm realizing that we didn't address your timeline issue. So I'm just getting that big things are going to open up in 6 to 9 months. I'm not sure if that's when you're going to be turning things into people or you're going to have really good revisions back, but 6 to 9 months is when you're going to see some wheels really turning in getting this processed.
Excellent. I'll be honest with you. My intention is to have everything into an editor by the end of next month. And I've never done this before, so I don't know what any timelines are for anything coming back or, you know, cover art. You know, this is all unknown to me, and the reason I'm writing this book, I'll be honest, I have no idea why I started it, other than, like I said, just to kind of get out where I'm coming from in all of this. But it was more or less something, someone, what have you, saying, yeah, you need to start putting this down on paper, because I'm one of those people that don't necessarily read books. I'll listen to books. I love listening to books on tape, especially those read by the author, because then I think that you get a genuine feel for where they're coming from and the intonation of what they're talking about and the excitement and, you know, all of those things. So I think, yeah, this is, like I said, it's all new to me. I don't know timing of anything. So we'll find out.
We'll find out. I feel like those bigger 6 to 9 month wheels are things that aren't in your control. So I would anticipate that would have to do with editors, publishers, things like that. So it's that, and I like, that'll be a point where you've passed you've passed your portion.
Pass it on to somebody else. Out of my control, out of my hands now. And
yes. And I'm also getting that it'll be like a hurry up and wait. And then there'll be something else and you'll do it. And then it's like a hurry up and then wait. So it'll just be that kind of a process. But yeah. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, like they just keep showing me this cover art and getting it figured out and having it's like books on the side and some things mm-hmm. stacked there. And it's this close up of like things that represent you and your space.
That's actually very cool. My space is a very eclectic space. That's for sure. Yeah. It screams me. There's no doubt about it.
Perfect. And that's what you want. That's what you want the cover of your book to scream as well. So yeah, no, this, and the reason you started this again, like you started your podcast to build this kind of podcast community. And then right. it, you know, some people are book readers, some people are podcasters, mm-hmm. some people are. So they really, your soul was like, all right, we need to expand this and get this down in another way. So
yeah.
Yay.
It's yeah. I'm looking forward to it for sure. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you see coming in as it relates to the book?
It's to the book. Not at this time.
Okay.
So they're saying that we can check back in if you are having questions after you get like a really good edit. And mm-hmm. if they come back in and they're like, here, I need you to expand more on this. I need this. And if you have questions, we can always check back in and ask. But they're saying that you're a really good, you're like 65-75% like into this process. Mm-hmm. So they're saying you're marching along really nicely.
That's again very accurate. I'm
awesome.
Getting near completion, and that's one of those things that I've noticed too. That as you put your initial thoughts down and you step away, and then you go back to it, you're mm-hmm. there are some changes, there are some additions, because the book is going from events and experiences and different things that I've had. And what's interesting in all of this is, and you don't know this of me, but I'll tell you, I would say that in general, my short-term memory is abysmal. I mean, it just is. But with these experiences or situations and events, they come out as if I'm watching it on television. I'm
love that.
Seeing it, not as I'm experiencing it firsthand, but I'm witnessing it as an observer. I don't know if that makes sense at all.
That, well, they're saying that makes a lot of sense also, because it really enables you to tell your story in third person as the other, like it's giving you the viewpoint of the reader almost is mm-hmm. what they were saying. So you can tell it and it is coming from you, but you also have this other vantage point, which enables you to explain things really clearly and give really good visual details and really be able to draw your readers in. And I am so sorry, but as you were talking, I also got the information that you, since this is going to be a book that is bigger than a book and more about building community, one of the first steps mm-hmm. of that for you is to, you know, once you get everything written, really be mindful about reaching out to get forwards from people and to get from it, because the people that you will have, like you're personally needing to reach out to people and saying, hey, this book is my baby. This is my intent with it. Like, it's not just a book. I really want to build community mm-hmm. with it, but it's important. They're saying that is the way to start building community within other authors and within other people that are doing similar work mm-hmm. and that is something that you can do from the beginning. And it's also going to give you so much buy-in from others, and people are going to be excited about it when they read it and they're going to want to share it with others. So that is community building work for you to start on before it really even is released. So
I love that. Yeah. That's again, things that I guess I put it in the you don't know what you don't know category, and that's what I don't know. So
right,
I'll take that. I love that. That's very helpful to me.
And like I said, it's going to be and coming at this from an I'm building community, and I'd love to start with you. So it's a novel for a book. I like it.
I love it too. That's very cool. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I appreciate that.
Let me see if there's anything else I'm getting. Nope. They're just like, you are on the right track, on the right path, and awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Should we can move on and see, focus on Jim. Let me see if there is anything off the bat that they would like to share. Your soul is just really your soul and your guides, and the people that you have up in the ethers working with you are just really proud of your efforts, because they're saying that you are very, you're very consistent. You're very consistent. And so even when you are, even when things are challenging, even when you feel like you are kind of walking knee high through the mud, like he's always like, okay, well, we're just going to take that one next step forward. So you're very consistent. You are very, very determined. And they just want you to know they're really proud of you. Like you just keep moving on. You just keep slogging on. So that is, they want you to not underestimate that part of yourself, because that's not something that everybody can do and can bounce back from and can just kind of keep moving forward, keep moving forward. You always have that forward mindset going, and it is something that really motivates you from the inside, and your soul just feels this need to kind of keep moving forward. Even if it's only a teeny little bit, that's okay. But it is continuing to move forward. And so just know that that is one of the gifts that you came in with this lifetime in order to help fulfill your purposes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I think in everyone's life at one point or another, I don't want to say overwhelm necessarily, but you have so many things going on at the same time that you can get paralyzed by that, and the ability to compartmentalize and go, okay, yeah, this is tough, but you got to go. You got to go. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the mindset that I keep in almost all facets of my life, is just keep going. Just keep going.
No. And like I said, it doesn't have to be big steps. Just each day. It's great. Well, and the other thing that they just wanted to talk about is kind of your purpose with this community building. And so, you know, as it relates to your book, it is absolutely community building. And one of the gifts that they've given you to help fulfill this purpose is you can really see where people fit in. And it is easy for you to look at people and say, I know that this is your skill. I know that this is where you would excel. And you're able to use this when you're coaching a baseball team. You're able to use this clearly in your professional career and job. Mm-hmm. And then also when people are coming and being a part of your spiritual community that you're building, you're going to be able to find out how to put people at ease easily. Mm-hmm. And then also to figure out where they fit in and help people to realize, gosh, you know what? You came in and you had this really vulnerable moment, but you really made this person over here feel like then they could open up. So there's a part of you with this building of community that also is very, one of your gifts is just easily identifying where people fit into this, where they fit into the puzzle and what they bring to the party and what they have to give. And it's wonderful because, like I said, you do this in all the communities that you're in. And so, you know, your soul is saying, wonderful, good job, Jim. And we're with this book and all of the things, we're going to have you doing this with spiritual community work then as well.
So can I ask a question of this? It's, this is more on the personal level, because the path that I'm on and the things that are part of me now, I think initially started off as interests, but have become a part of me, isn't widely accepted. You know, and I'll bring it, you know, obviously we talk about the external world in general. It's not widely accepted, but I do think it's becoming more and more accepted. Mm-hmm. But what is this going to do closer to me in my family and friends with what I'm doing and my purpose?
So I'm getting, as soon as you talked about that, it's normalizing and desensitizing. So it is the people that are the closest to you that are respectful of what you are doing are going to be like, man, this is amazing. Like, look at all of this. And the people that are close to you that are, you know, rightfully so, skeptics and, mm-hmm. you know, people who are really, you know, thinking, having doubts about things, it's going to, as you're more successful with this and as the community gets larger and as you are saying, well, I gotta go do a book talk. I need to, you know, I have a speaking engagement. I have, mm-hmm. it's really going to open some eyes and have people providing that normalization and that kind of desensitization of like, oh, this is coming from a whole variety of people in a whole variety of places and not just, you know, not just Jim. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it is, and again, they're calling back to, I think they mentioned it when we were talking about the book, like we have to be, the people who are doing this type of work have to be in all walks of life at this point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where you are and you're like, you know, this is, I'm not where people are usually doing this. It's, right. you know, that's not a coincidence. And they're, you know, putting you out there in order to reach these, all of these other people that otherwise wouldn't be thinking about spirituality, wouldn't be thinking about, you know, past lives that they've had or, you know, relationships in a spiritual karmic way.
Gotcha.
But normalizing and desensitizing is how it's going to affect the relationships with the people that you're close with.
Very good. Yeah. So that's something that is a bit of a concern to me. And I don't know if concern is the right word to use, because then it makes it seem like, oh, so ominous. And it's not. And a good example is my neighbor, because I meditate in the mornings and there was some things going on in the backyard where somebody had people cutting their grass really early. And I'll usually go out on the back deck and do my meditation. But I went in front of my house and opened up the garage door and was just sitting in front of my garage. And my neighbor came by and I felt his presence, but I was done. And he said, "Were you just meditating?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, I'm going to, don't worry about it." And I said, "No, I'm done." And he goes, "I thought you were meditating." And I said, yeah, I do it most mornings and try to do it another time during the day. And he goes, "Whoa, I'm curious about that. What does that do for you?"
Awesome. See, and look at that.
Yeah. And
love it.
It was such an innocent and authentic approach, because he just said, "How does it make you feel?" And I said, "Well, there are some people that do transcendental meditations, but that," I said, "that's not what I'm doing here." And he said, "Well, how is yours different?" I said, "All I'm trying to do is clear my mind enough to be open and present for whatever's coming up in my day, and to not allow things to hold on, you know, like to hold on to things, hold on to other people's energies and things like that." Mm-hmm. Whereas if I don't do this, or when I didn't do this, I would hold on and harbor other people's feelings and energies. And if they were mad about something, then I'd pick up that energy and then I would be agitated. And I said, "It just allows me to not be as reactionary." And he said, "I really should start doing that. Where do I start?"
Oh my gosh. Wow.
How do I start? Yeah. So, I mean,
that's huge.
It was, and we're talking about a guy, and he's such a great guy. And his family, too. He's got a couple of kids, and they're my kids' age. Well, one of them is. But I thought it was really neat that he was genuinely interested in doing something that might just help him a little bit in dealing with the stresses, because he's a business owner and he's got two teenage sons and the stresses of owning a business and reacting to everyday life and all of those things. And I said, here's the thing I'm going to tell you. It doesn't stop you from being human. You know, all of a sudden it's not going to be your Gandhi and thinking, you know, nothing's ever going to bother me or anything like that. But I said, it won't be as bad. And if you hold on to things, it won't be as long. And you can process things much faster that way. So it's really cool. And I don't know how we got down this rabbit hole.
No, that is awesome. But they're saying that that is an example of that community building in, you know, in that moment. And meditation, you can do it in your driveway, sitting in a lawn chair or, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah, right, right.
It's not like I'm sitting cross-legged under some, you know, tree.
On a mountaintop in the Himalayas.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm doing it next door in the driveway. So that is like, and they're saying that the reason you gave that example was really to be like, yep, normalization, desensitization. Like that is, that's it. That's what you're doing. Yeah. That's what that is. Yes. Okay. So another question.
So yes, what I'd like to know is there a time frame or a change in direction as it relates to my career or my professional pursuits coming up?
So I get that there will be, and as soon as you started talking about work and professional and your professional career, they were saying like, you're going to hit a time where you need to reorganize your priorities, and it'll have to do with like the finishing of the book and when you are being called to do those things. And that it will, you'll start to lean into this more because you'll start to be able to have some paid engagements with it. And you'll start to be able to kind of scale back from some of your, some of the professional business things that you're doing right now. And something that they are bringing up, and I don't know how you feel about this, but doing spiritual coaching for athletes, but in a sense of like, teaching meditation, teaching, you know, ways to shake off that energy that they're picking up so they can be really effective in games. And this is something that is, can come down the line for you. I don't know if this feels out of the blue for you. It feels out of the blue for them. They're like, oh, by the way, this is something that you would also be really good at. And it may be something that you do after this book is out. And just so it's like, yeah, these are some of the things that I am doing that really help me to focus, that help me to be really present in the moment, that help me to shake off, you know, bad things that have happened. Right. Yeah. Self-doubt, anything negative that is not serving me for my highest and greatest good. And it's almost like coming and saying, okay, like, so much of these athletics is also so much in your mind. Like you have to be present. You have to be grounded. You have to like shake off that last inning or whatever that was in order to perform at your best. And so there's something in this because we know that the Marines, like the Navy SEALs, they teach those guys to meditate.
They're big into that. Yes. Visualization, meditation. Yes.
Very big. And we know that like, and so there is also like, you also have a lot of research that have paved, that can like help you pave your path into this, but that this is something that you would be really, really good at and something that you could do. I mean, what a skill to teach people. And it's also reaching people that otherwise wouldn't be tuning into this at all. So it's kind of your calling to be reaching out into these niches where you're like, well, I'm not entirely comfortable. But anyhow, so look into this and just see, like, start to marinate in this with your brain, because I feel like there might even be books related to this that you might end up writing. There might be, like, think of people, you know, coaches calling you in, coming you in, having you run workshops for teams, having you work with some individual people, because people get in slumps, you know, in their athletic career. And I'm like, golfers, baseball players, basketball players, they can't sink the three-pointer, whatever this is.
So actors, like, writers, everyone gets stuck.
Right. It does. Yes. And so there is something for you. And also, this is an area to look into.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's very interesting. Very cool. I appreciate that.
So they're saying it is going to be a situation where you are doing multiple things. However, your writing and your books are always going to be able to support what it is that you are, you know, what it is that you are doing. And they, you know, they're saying, like, absolutely, your life experiences, the ones that you have had in the corporate world and in sports and athletics and all of this, are going to be what you can draw on to be like, they're saying, they're using the words, I'm a perfect meld, M-E-L-D, I'm a perfect meld of these worlds to make this approachable and come at it from a non-judgmental, enlightening way.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else that we might have?
Let's see. So they would like to ask, like, if, were you okay and comfortable if we talk about a past life that you've had that is relating to this next stage of your life?
Awesome. Yeah, for sure.
So what past life have you had that's going to be able to tell us some information about this next, next point in your career? This is interesting. So you were, like a business whisperer is what they are saying. So this was sometime in the 1800s, and, you know, it's before the days of consulting that we have now, where, you know, if you were having a problem with your business, you would call a consulting team in. But you did this in the 1800s, and you were in a major seaport, and people really realized that you kind of had this very strange knack for helping people to very quickly and very easily, like, streamline their businesses. And people that were having problems with suppliers, or people that were having problems with the routes that they were taking to get their goods from place to place. You were a merchant, and you sold things, and you dealt with a lot of suppliers. And so when you would talk to somebody and you'd say, well, I need 400 yards of this fabric, and they'd say, well, we're having issues with supplying, and you intuitively would be like, well, you know what, don't they have suppliers in this part of the world, and I think you should reach out to them. Or you should say, yeah, if you're having problems with this person, you know what, two streets over, Joe is really succeeding at this. Or you would be dealing with one supplier about something and be like, you know what, it would really make sense if you could just add this into your order. And the people that you're selling this to, they'd also buy that from you. And so word kind of got around, because you were someone that very easily, even situations that you were just minimally involved with these businesses, you would pop in and be like, oh, yep, this is, that would be super helpful for you. And so when merchants were getting together, or the people who were doing the importing and the exporting would get together, they would kind of be like, dude, did you talk to him? Like, he had this great idea. And they'd be like, well, I didn't know that you were also importing olives. And you're like, I didn't either. But you know what? I was talking to Jim, and he said this would be a great thing to add to your business. And then you would also be able to, you know, help people and go in and be like, yeah, well, this is really interesting, but you know what? He shouldn't be in charge of customer service and relations. This person should really be in charge of that. And if people followed your directions, their business became really successful. And so you were, like I said, kind of a business whisperer. And it was very much like, you didn't charge for these services. It was something that you did on the side, because you did a great job in selling and all the things that you needed. But people kept coming to you and they'd be like, well, you know, you should talk to so-and-so and you should talk to so-and-so. And people didn't even have to talk to you for very long. You just kind of tuned in and you were like, oh, well, this would make more sense. And your business is really successful. So it wasn't like you needed to charge anybody anything for it. And you were right. Like, well, I don't know how I know it. I just know. So it is interesting because they're saying in that lifetime, you were connecting in with just like opening up the Akashic records of a business, just like we opened up the Akashic records of your book, you were connecting in with people's businesses and saying, oh, this is what would be helpful for you. And also connecting in with like their workers and their processes and saying, this is what would be helpful for you. So it's very much very similar to the skills that you've already used in this lifetime. But they want you to know that when you're in this next step and you're doing talks with your books and you are building this community and you are, you know, doing this individual coaching of this is how we can integrate this spirituality into your team. This is how we can, you know, help you out of your slump. This is that it's going to be just as easy for you as it was in that lifetime. And it wasn't that you had this big spiritual thing that you, you know, did you. Like it just
sacrifice a live chicken or anything.
Right. No, yeah. No, you didn't do any dances or wave any wands or anything that, but it was just this very clear, easy knowing. And it was just, it was quick. It was crystal clear, very easy and exactly the path. So they want you to know that as you continue to do this, and once you start doing more of the spiritual advising for people, just go with it, call it out, go with it, like quick, easy, what's coming to me is what this person needs, and to trust that. So it is, you know, it's a different kind of whisper that you're going to be leaning into, but that they're, you're well prepared for it.
Excellent. I have one final question for you, and then we can wrap up. And this, I'm curious as to whether or not I'm going to, after this book, write another book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do, I feel like it is, I think it's related to that. Like, this is how we are working our spirit, like with the, like, this is how we're working the spirituality into our everyday lives. Or maybe it's going to be for people who are in a slump. And this is how you can lean into this and get out of it. Like you said, everybody gets in those slumps. Writers, athletes, teachers, healthcare workers, you know, like they're, oh yeah, absolutely. And again, once it's because you're developing this community and giving them resources, and then they're going to be like, and we'd like some more. Okay. And the more people you meet, the more the people come to you with questions, the more that you're going to realize, oh, you know, I've had emails and talked to people over the last 2 months, and this is what everyone's concerned about, or this is what everyone needs to know. And this is my take on that. So yeah.
Okay. Sure. Cool. Awesome.
And they're saying like the more life experiences that you have, and you know, this happening for you later in your life allows you to personally connect with more people because you've personally had more experiences. And so it's then going to feed back into you and your creativity. I'm connecting with all these people. This is what's going to feed my next book, my next stage of creativity.
More relatable.
Right.
As a result. Yeah.
And that it is also the timing of you doing this work is very concurrent with the situation of the world and people really needing to lean into this, you know, needing to lean into, I need to feel better. And the things that I'm currently doing aren't working. Like, I don't know what else to do. We have a lot of people right now that are searching for more. And so the timing of your work is coinciding with that.
No coincidence. Okay.
No such thing as coincidences.
Right. No. And awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And you know, they're saying like, you just keep doing that forward march and just know that like, when we're working for this highest and greatest good, and it isn't coming from a place of ego, it isn't coming from I'm in it for fame and fortune. You know, it's in it for I'm here to share the information and I'm here to help uplift people. And, you know, I'm here for the greater good. So, you know, they just want you to know that when you're working in that space, like you really are being held, you really are being uplifted. You know, they're you know, your guides and people mm-hmm. up in the ethers are working on opening those doors. They're working on bringing the souls to you that you are meant to interact with and that can help, you know, help you in that mm-hmm. situation. So anytime that you're like stuck or that you, you know, find yourself bogged down, you're like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to sit here and say, what's for the highest and greatest good? And just wait and see what comes and then focus on that thing that pops up.
No, I like that.
And you know, and you're in alignment.
Yeah. And quite candidly, you mentioned ego. This is, in my opinion, or from my perspective, is the exact opposite of ego. Because when you open yourself up and are completely vulnerable to opinion, comments, thoughts, and so on and so forth from others, mm-hmm. The last thing that comes to mind is ego. It's like, I don't know about this, but I'm going to get it out there. Mm-hmm. You know, because as I said before, you know, from a male perspective, you know, you're not supposed to be necessarily empathetic or have this ability to feel or sensitivity and intuition and things of that nature. It's supposed to be, you know, I guess more ego driven that way, where this just seems the exact opposite of it to me.
Yeah, anyway. No, they are saying that this is, it really is. It's giving up any illusions of control. And it is saying that we're here for service and mm-hmm. highest and greatest good. You know, it's the opposite of ego.
Yeah,
so that's it. When they're saying like when you're having those moments of confusion, those moments of I have everything going on, where do I lean into? What do you need me to do? You're gonna get led in the right direction by saying, okay, highest and greatest good. Where do you need me to go for that? So, and you're doing it. You're working at the surface of building this community for others and opening up those spiritual doors for people. So your soul is like patting on the back. You're keeping going. And it is not a coincidence that you feel so strongly about this, that even when you are in this, you know, male body, and even when you're in these, you know, very corporate situations, you still feel really strongly about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know that your soul is just meant to share this information. So.
Excellent. All right. So I think we're good as far as the reading's concerned. What do you need to do next?
So I would like your permission to, if you feel complete and the records are saying that you got the information that you came for today, you feel complete? Beautiful.
Yes, I do.
Do I have your permission to close your records and the records of your book?
Yes, please.
All right. Wonderful. We're done.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. It's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our special guest, Heather Plume, for being on our show today. So thank you, Heather. Again, how can people get in touch with you to do this? To have their Akashic records read.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much. It was such a privilege to be here. And I love this more than anything. And it's just magical. And everyone's reading is different. So I have a website that is www.healingspiritpathways.com. And on my website, it has information about the readings. But my Akashic Record reading email is healingspiritpathways@gmail.com. So people can reach out to me that way.
Fantastic. And I invite you to head on over to our show notes where there's going to be a link to the playlist from today's episode. And I will also put the link in for you to contact Heather regarding booking an Akashic Record session. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of the show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstadt wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.